RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back to the KHC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers, Alec Metford here with you as we take you up to 2 o'clock today. And now it's time to talk with the Cowboys owner and general manager, Jerry Jones, brought to you by North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas, and we see it all over the fields. Jerry, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas. At football is family, certainly for you. Your family is football. It had to feel great to get a win on Christmas. How are you?
Oh, boy. Boy, I just got a text from a new coach in college, and he was congratulating for the win and just touching base, and I've known him. I told him that after all the games, a win is glorious. A win is special. Bill Parcells used to say, you know, I'm not going to, I don't want to compromise anything for a win. I don't have that many more chances probably in my career to get a win. A win is special. I've noticed debate about whether to play certain players in the game yesterday or the game this 10 days from now. But it's so important to understand when you're involved what it means to put a win there that'll always be with you. Now, losses hurt, and of course, that's the other side of the coin. But it's great to win. It's important. And they're singularly worth noting. I can remember wins and games, remember losses as well, of the Cowboys for extending back the full 35 years. But I can remember quarters. I can remember plays and games that I was involved in when I was in college. Winning is important.
Yeah, Jerry, how difficult is this for you? Because, look, Dak is having an insanely great year. You know, coming off the injury, he's right there, you know, for the passing title. Yet he was hit 11 times yesterday, and he is so valuable to your team. How difficult is it when you assess everything going into this weekend as to how you want to play this out?
You weigh that against how valuable it was to win the game yesterday. And I don't mean to sound like a motivational talk here, but that win's big to us yesterday. And to go up against the Giants and to finish with hopefully the kind of taste we've got in our mouth today, to go do that, there's a tremendous carryover. And I'm not just talking about the players. I'm talking about everybody, coaches, fans all the way through. Winning the game because they're hard. They're supposed to be hard. They are hard. The NFL is designed so that you have got to really break out of those traces to stay out of that 500 range. That's the way it's set up. The very worst teams get to pick the best players and so forth. So having said all of that, that was a physical day there yesterday for Dak. We knew it was coming. Quinn, the coach over there, that's his style. And he had watched games and saw how that might be the best way to put it on us yesterday. And so to not expect there to be a lot of pressure out there yesterday would have had your head in the sand. But I noticed the comments from the players after the game. And they were talking about how that first half was one thing, to be imposing you well and having those three possessions, three scores, dominating that clock. But the other part of it comes just as assured, and that is when you're reeling and it's going the other way and they're questioning of what you're doing out there and making a mistake and get an unfortunate penalty, fighting through that. Well, that's important that those players and everybody see each other do that, feel it. It'll be important up there against the Giants in 10 days.
Well, Jerry, on the other side of the coin, I think that your head coach, Brian Schottenheimer's play calling seemed a bit more aggressive yesterday, went 6 of 6 on fourth down. The offense looked pretty good, and it seemed like he was willing to take more chances. What did you think of Schottie's play calling yesterday?
Well, I'm smiling when you said, looked like he was a bit more aggressive. 6 out of 6 fourth down calls. I've never heard of. I never thought football would get to the point that you would have that kind of stat. But it's a credit to really the confidence. Again, that's how you gain it, is to execute on it. And it was material, of course. It just through just the time of possession went crazy, even though we were having trouble slowing them down on their big plays over 15 yards. I think they had 7 or 8 up. But the point is that that aggressive play calling allowed us to hold that ball. And in holding that ball is what dominated the game. It set up criteria that are not normally in a stat sheet. And that is one way to win a football game is, even if you're a little porous on your defense, is to just go for it on every fourth down. Now, of course, that can turn on you and have an embarrassing result. But no, I was from the get-go. It was about running yesterday. We knew they'd be putting pressure on Dak, and I thought that under the circumstances, he was outstanding.
And Jerry, one thing that didn't help your time of possession in a good way was Kevontae Turpin with an electric touchdown as a wide receiver. And I think the group that you guys have formed at that third wide receiver spot is one of the most underrated and skilled, you know, groups in football. How much is a luxury is it to have Kevontae Turpin returning kicks for you, but also catching passes and just having multiple options outside of CD and George Pickens?
Well, it is tremendous, and it does create all kinds of stress on the teams you're playing, the defense. But I'll tell you, to get away from that, but to add to it, that running game that we had yesterday and what Williams was doing early, I've never seen it executed better. And those guys over on that other side of the ball now, they wanted to, the ones that were out on the field at that time and place, boy, they wanted it. And we were able to really run that ball. And I can't say enough about these running backs. Williams, both of them playing with a certain amount of handicap, and just were outstanding. And that was the difference in my mind in the first and second half, is first half, we were able to execute that run so good and so consistently, and it just let us dominate that time of possession. But I'm back to your receiver question, and it's accurate. We didn't have Florinay yesterday, who's absolutely had a breakout year. But to have Turpin in there, and, of course, you say, well, why don't we do one of those every game? And then they'd back up off of us and let us throw a few of our shorter crossing routes. But, no, that's a weapon, beautifully done by Dak, and well done because of the pressure that he'd been getting. But bottom line is that receiving core that we have out there, and you throw Pickens and throw Lamb, throw Florinay, and you throw the rest of the guys that are in there. And what we can do with the running game, that's a great combination, and we've got a lot to look forward to here in terms of watching this operate. And while I'm at it, I'll just say this, and I am not the eternal optimist. I know I act like and sound like I am when I'm on a show with you guys or I'm in public, but I have a lot of times when I see too many flaws, and so I have to do tricks to keep me going positive too. So, but all I'm saying is, our future, what we've got set up on both sides of the ball, I think bodes well for us.
Jerry, how close do you think you are with this team?
Well, I be very candid with you. The loss against Detroit. And again, you asked the question of me, how close I think we are. The loss against Detroit was a surprise to me, not the loss, but just how we played. I thought, we had, turned the corner defensively. We'd got personnel back that we hadn't had. We got our new personnel already acclimated, and Williams on the on our Quentin Williams on the defensive front, added him in that front, which I think has a great future, not just him but the front. And I thought it was onward and upward at that particular point. We were getting Revell out there, knowing he was a rookie, but thought that he could make a difference. Diggs coming healthy, Bland coming healthy back there, Hooker getting better. When we started this year, I thought our strength could quite possibly be that secondary. And, boy, have we had to shuffle that around. And it's been probably the most telling thing in my mind, that and linebacking inconsistency out there. Those things are and can and is a work in progress to get addressed. If we can get that addressed and keep advancing the ball, so to speak, figuratively speaking, on the offensive side of the ball, we can be a heck of a team.
Yeah, defense has been a struggle this year. I know hindsight being 2020, is there anything that you can look back to that you would have done differently when looking at that side of the ball coming into this season?
Well, we knew it was bratted out on our forehead that we had had a different, some different philosophical input for at least 3 years. I really would say for a 5 year period, we've been evolving and had different influences on defense. And that lack of continuity, lack of, to use a word that's really being used lately, consistency. And it contributed to play the players that are there. Now, remember, several of those guys we've been out there have just been here, but they've just gotten there on a lot of teams. A lot of teams are playing with first-year guys into a system or into defense. But we had our new coaching staff here as well. And that new coaching staff had some continuity together. A lot of them came with Flus. And so they had continuity, and I thought that would smooth it out. But that plus just the ins and outs of availability of our players I think are the things that I would point to. How do you remedy or how do you address lack of availability? What that is the player can't play, he's hurt. How do you address that? Well, it's different circumstances, different health situations, where they are in their career, all of that makes a difference. We're going to attack that harder than we've ever attacked it because I want to take advantage of where we are right now in principle with our offense. We've got good, young, strong offensive line, and that's improving at all times. So I think the offseason with our extra draft picks, we've also got reasonable to, frankly, good for the next 2 or 3 years in good shape with our cap, our availability of dollars. So all in all, we're in better shape than, in my mind, anywhere near what we were last year.
So it sounds like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, are you pleased with where you are scheme-wise and with, you know, with the coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball?
No, not okay. at all. And we've got a lot of work to do there. I'm sorry if mm-hmm. I have let my enthusiasm for the win yesterday misrepresent. No, not at all. We've got a lot of work to do over there. But we can do it. Mm-hmm. And we can do it with let's say manage the continuity that we don't have. Some of these teams have had the same continuity on their defensive scheme for years, and that still doesn't mean they don't have to make adjustments when they have injury. And that's the game. That's what we're in. And if you can't. If you can't win and have some adversity with injury, you're not going to get there. But I think the combination of things this year and that with the new coaching staff, the continuity issue there, and then the fact that we were sitting there, if you'd told me we wouldn't have Bland a lot of this year as much as we haven't had him, if you'd told me Diggs would have not been in there as much, Hooker would have... had some of the issues that he had available, what he was playing with, that type of thing. Because, I thought that was one of our strengths.
Jerry Jones joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Logan Wilson was a guy that you traded for and seemed really excited about adding to the lineup. He did not sub into yesterday's game. And you mentioned some inconsistency at the linebacker position. Where do things stand with him? And the linebacker position overall, how much work do you think it needs?
Well, we need to improve. I'm going to just say, because improve where? First of all, I don't have an explanation for you why Wilson wasn't in there. He'd planned to be in there. We'd planned to have him in there. So I don't have that at this time. But he needs to be in there. He's got good instincts. The reason we got him was because he reads the play quick and can basically be in his lane of responsibility or react quick. It's critical that a linebacker have quick reacting, and he's able to do that. That's why we got him. So, but I don't have an answer about yesterday.
How difficult? What's the most difficult part of your job, Jerry? What's the thing that is just like it feels like the hardest thing to assess or to go through? You know, as the owner and general manager.
Well, you have. Our game is a little ambiguous when you start evaluating the actual play. You can have different interpretations of how the play and what different players were doing or didn't do. It's a mistake to think it's very bright lined. And if I can just say it this way, my ex my college coach, Frank Broyles, who was known as one of the great strategists ever, was certainly he understood fundamentals, but he was really a management major, and his entire focus was almost mathematical, and his goal was to get two against one, three against two, four against three, always outnumber them, and then that makes up for whether or not the athlete was able to elude or able to soft leg and avoid getting a direct hit and make three or four more yards. Now, where I'm going with this is it's not a bright line game. And there's a whole bunch of looking on hindsight when you're looking at a tape of how a team played and looking back at how that team played and then making using that as the way to formulate the answer. And so because of that ambiguity, that's not frustrating, but it's hard. Because a lot of times you see things done. You remember four or five games back when we had our special teams guy get knocked down, get knocked back, and then turn around and was over there and recovered that ball? Y'all remember that great play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most noted play by fans when I see them, or people in football when I see them, they talk about that play. That's football. Well, drawing that play up or having somebody explain that play to you is almost surreal, because that came from just sheer effort and tenacity. And it broke many of the rules of how to draw a play up, because you have that kind of intensity. Well, when you see a lot of the things that you see executed right, or you see it done because you can say it was done right because they had intensity, or you can see it done just where they were supposed to be but not done right, and maybe even a scope because of the lack of intensity, that's out there. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's not out there trying, but they just didn't have it together for that next step enough to get the job done. Now, I know this is a lot of arm waving that I'm doing here today, but it's not as exact as you'd like to believe it is that you could X and O it at all. And so I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah, and the reason
evaluating a player. How do you explain sometimes when the nose tackle's got an inch and a half shorter arm, or the not the nose tackle, defensive lineman, yet he's dynamic in his the way he plays the game and makes up for it. So those are the hard things to figure in. And then I would say the injury factor. Our game is physical. No matter how much we throw those flags, this game is physical, and those are bones and sinew, and those are things that are getting tested out there. When I came into the league 35 years ago, there were five 300-pound players in the league, five. And now then, there are 300-pound players everywhere in terms of the big guys. The field is exactly the same width and the same length. There's no more room out there. And so the people are faster. And so you got more velocity going on against each other out there than at any time you had in those other years. You're going to have injury. And so when you've got a system that takes and pays most of the money to a few players, and then you have the rest of the players that are out there that are absolutely essential to doing anything, then you have a real challenge. That combination of things is probably my biggest challenge.
Yeah, and I ask it because, you know, on a human, just from a human element, and trying to assess in the X's and the O's, not just from a player standpoint, but from a coaching standpoint too, because it's easy for us to look and say, okay, well, look at the year that Robert Saleh is having with that defense in San Francisco, and he was in the building last year with you all. How do you assess what you are looking for when you're bringing in not just players but coaches as well? And do you look back, you know, in hindsight too, and think, man, did we make the right decision with, you know, the success that other coaches can have when you went another direction or have in the past before?
Yeah, well, he's outstanding. We almost didn't let him leave the building. We were impressed. But more importantly, his recommendations. If you really want to, again, if you really, really want to get down and check out a coach, just go down and not so much the interview, go down and check and visit with everybody he's coached with. And then also look at some of the coaching that he's actually done at the position or the area of responsibility he's had. If you really want to figure out what a coach's background is. But now, you rest assured, I know you guys know this, you don't have one that you wouldn't, if you look at all the tape, if you look at all the games, if you look at everything involved now, you'll have a lot of, you'll have a lot to look at, and it won't all be Super Bowl stuff.
Jerry, yesterday on the Netflix broadcast, Emmitt Smith made an appearance, and he said, quote, "For the first time in a long time for me, I feel like we're heading in the right direction." What do you think Emmitt sees, and why do you think the fans should fall in line with Emmitt and his line of thinking?
Well, let me say this. Our fans have to do anything differently or more or less for me. I know what our fans want, and it's just a question of I happen to have the responsibility or happen to have the wheel on trying to get what the fans want out there. And so the fans are not – fans fall in line when you play good football and you have – that we came out of that game yesterday, and that was fun to win that ball game. It felt good. It isn't any fun at all on any basis to come out of a game and not win it. And so I've got a good feel for that. It's important to me. My fans, Cowboy fans, sports fans are the most important thing to me in the world. And that's why that I do all the things that I do to do what I can do to get their attention and get their interest. That's my makeup. That's what I do. And I know that we need to have football players. That's why Dak's the highest paid player in the NFL.
Jerry.
And so that we could have that kind of success.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was just going to tell you, it was an exciting watch yesterday. The Netflix presentation was terrific as well, and I know that that means a lot to you in the greater scheme of things as well as coming away with a win. So I know it had to be a great Christmas with you all. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Okay, guys. Well, I've got wound up here. I hope I answered at least two of your questions. But listen, it was a great win. It feels good. Our players are so proud, our coaches are, that we played the game to win like it was the next game was the playoff for the Super Bowl or the Super Bowl game. So we gained on it yesterday. And thanks for being on with me.
Hey, we appreciate it. Merry Christmas to the family and Happy New Year.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you. That's Jerry Jones brought to you by North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Some interesting comments to come out of that. You know, when he was discussing the defense, Alec, it seemed, you know, in talking a lot about the fact that you were missing some players throughout the season. He mentioned Deron Bland. He was referring to others. I don't know. Did you get the same sense that I did that it seemed that it was more on that than it was the scheme? And that's why I followed up with the question. I don't know if you had that sense as well.
Yeah, it felt a lot like that until I asked about Logan Wilson, and he said, no, we were anticipating on him playing.
Oh, yeah, and then when I asked if he was happy, right, he said, no, not at all. He was definitive on that. So
I think he admitted, he was like, don't let my, you know, excitement about the win confuse you. I think he might have just gotten a little bit like, okay, we saw that we have the propensity to win football games in the NFL with this team and this defense. But he kind of came back down to earth like, oh, yeah, it's still not great.
One thing that Jerry and I both have in common is, without a question, the Detroit loss being the surprise. I think we're all joined together in that one pretty much, too, right? So some interesting comments from Jerry Jones. We appreciate him joining us, as he does every Friday here in the KNC Masterpiece at 10:30. Let's turn to the other side and talk to Mickey Spagnuolo and his thoughts about what the owner and general manager just had to say and what he thinks the team should be doing as we look ahead to the Giants matchup next weekend. We'll do it next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's Tear in the Fan.
It was against the defense, Brad. 86-yard touchdown. Dak to Kevontae Turpin, third longest touchdown pass of Dak Prescott's career. As the Cowboys are able to hold on, they put up 24 points in the first half. Offense was humming. And then what a rally for Washington as the Cowboys put up 6 points in the second half and are able to hold on and win 30-23. Tremendous job by Malik Davis and Hunter Lipke, with Javonte Williams going down. Malik Davis going for over 100 yards, 20 carries for a buck three, averaging over 5 yards a carry, and a big time third down catch there by George Pickens, who finished with 4 for 78, as the Cowboys running 87 offensive plays.
How about that, man?
28 total first downs. They go 8 for 20 on third, but 6 for 6 on fourth down in this football game. 30-23, they snapped the 3-game losing skid. They're now 7-8-1 on the year, 4-1 in the division, as they get a Christmas Day victory. 877-881-1053, the number to call, the number to text. 877-881-1053 here on the official postgame show of your Dallas Cowboys. Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus. And I mean, Brian, offensively, he was amazing in the first half. And then certainly some struggles there in the second, but they were able to come away with the victory. So a win is a win.
Yeah, it was a win's a win, and the goal was to go to Washington and find a way to get a win. a short week and all. You're right about the offense. Really impressed with the way the Cowboys did run the football.
Yeah.
You know, even with Williams early in the game, they had some really good, some good. When you look at the blocking up front, the combinations of the blocks, second level blocks, I mean, everything about it was super positive in that regard. Davis running the football basically in the second half or since he took over, I was impressed with that. Kind of felt like it was a game that a little bit indifferent for Dak in a way, first half, second half. Maybe held the ball a little bit longer than we normally see Dak.
Yeah.
Maybe had some problems. And this is maybe some of the things you see happen when you move Tyler Smith from guard to tackle. Inside pressure, Newton, 3 sacks today. You know, and we could talk about, and how many times have we seen like Cooper Beebe get help.
Right.
Or somebody get help. You know, the tackles are the ones that kind of get or by themselves more. But today was far more inside pressure. And that's the thing that's kind of a little bit concerning for me is this is the things that potentially could happen. When you move an all-pro guard to tackle, does it weaken you in the middle? And that's where we saw Newton and the Commanders attack Dak in the middle of the pocket. Kind of felt like there was a couple of times I was like, here's a secondary that plays off coverage. We saw it all day today. I just felt like that Dak was not as sharp, like ball out kind of today. But yeah, you will take a win and they did what they had to do, you know, with that drive. They took the ball, they killed a lot of the clock. Got in position, got points. Those are the things you have to do when you're trying to win a football game, and they were able to do that.
Yeah, and the positive, 2 for 2 in the red zone. We've talked a lot about, hey, the red zone success. The numbers are great for Dak. I mean, he had over 300 yards again, a couple of touchdowns, didn't throw an interception.
Yeah.
But certainly I think, when he goes back and watches the tape.
The sacks were like.
Success, which is the most he's had all year.
Yeah, I just kind of, and listen, the Commanders coming into this game, not a big sack team.
Yeah.
So you wonder, is it something when we watch the tape, is it something Commanders did coverage-wise? I can't believe that. I just didn't think, the numbers say Dak had, the 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. The big play, but 87 of that 300 was to Turpin on that big play.
Sure, that's
but
true.
It just seemed like today that he wasn't as sharp with the quickness of his reads. It's usually Dak is usually very decisive with the ball. Just kind of felt like today some of those sacks we're going to look back and like, oh wait, he had Pickens open here. Oh, he had Lamb open. Oh, he could have thrown it to Span Ford here. You know, I mean,
and a couple of underthrows.
Yeah,
he underthrew the one to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't seem like he was quite on like we've seen him in previous
games. He wasn't as sharp as we've seen, but the running game was there to kind of bail him out, and then Shoddy's aggressiveness on fourth down. Give him credit on the fourth down throws stuff like that. Those are absolutely things
last one.
Yeah.
He rolls out. I mean, I think that was actually a 3rd and 1.
Yeah.
He rolls out and is able to hit George Pickens. And that essentially ices it.
Yeah, Pickens, the way he works the middle of the field, the way he kind of presents himself to get open, it was good to see him be able to do that.
And Tolbert, I mean, there was the one play along the sideline. He wasn't able to get his feet down to convert on a 3rd down, but credit Jalen Tolbert, 4 for 31 on 8 targets. You didn't have Ryan Flannoy go today, so Jalen Tolbert, who's had to sit for multiple weeks, steps up like a pro and made some big catches today when the Cowboys needed them. So certainly a helmet sticker there. We mentioned Davis and Lipke. Lipke's one of these guys, man. I mean, he was playing well in the first half against Minnesota, and then he has the concussion.
Yeah,
I've wondered all year after giving him an extension in September why he's not more involved in the offense.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, that last run they didn't give him the first down, but man, he had the right idea. It was take the ball and dive forward, try and get as close as you can to that stick. See if you can bounce through, maybe get the first down there. But some really good tough running from him and Davis, and I include Williams in there. Kind of felt like there were a couple of times too that maybe Dak could have used his legs a little bit better there. But overall, though, you got to give them credit for the victory. That's the ultimate goal, is to go out there. That's what they wanted to do. much to everybody out there who believes in draft like you and I do. But, you know, hey, it makes our job a lot easier when they're winning games. And I think the fan base is always happy, especially in that part of the country, because there are a lot of fans that do live there. You could see that in the stadium today. A lot of Cowboy fans showed up for that one.
877-881-1053, the number to call, the number to text, and the official Pepsi post-game show, Pepsi made for Cowboys watching. And if you want to use what the pros use, Jack Black is the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit getjackblack.com today. Certainly, I get it with the defense. I mean, the tackling was poor. You allow a ton of big plays, 72-yard run for Crosky Merritt, a 29-yard run for Deebo Samuel, 41-yard catch for Deebo. McLaurin had a catch for 16. The defense at times, they stepped up, made some plays against the run. I thought Clowney had a pretty strong game today. He ended up with a sack and a half. And then Reddy Stewart got credited with the other half. So I thought Reddy Stewart played a really good
game. Yeah, I did too.
Those were probably two of your better players, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Savone Revel going down, and it was another rough one, unfortunately, for the rookie. We'll go back and watch it. But, you know, certainly the secondary, you're looking at it and saying, man, not only is the safety group, in my opinion, needs to be totally overhauled. Millie Cooker might be the only one.
Yeah, but here you're in a situation, too, where your pass rush is absolutely zero.
Yes.
It's absolutely zero. And if you don't, you know, look at the teams like a Green Bay. You know how Dak lights up Green Bay earlier in the year. But look at the teams that do have pass rush and how if you do block the pass rush or navigate the pass rush, then you have the ability to make plays in the secondary. You know, that's Dallas. Dallas is in a really, really bad spot because he's going to rush four. They're not going to get anybody home. And now you put guys like Diggs and the safeties and Revel, and you put these guys all in harm's way because there's no pass rush. And then and let's give the Commanders some credit. You know, playing with Deebo Samuel, you know, playing with Terry McLaurin. Usually you think those guys are going to kill you. Fortunately today that, you know, Josh Johnson wasn't the guy doing the killing. But they've had some days where pass rush not getting home has led to some big, big, big games from quarterbacks.
And hey, the defense has been the topic of conversation the entire year. We know the defense is bad.
Yeah.
We know the coordinator hasn't been a good fit. And that's where the majority of the focus needs to go. I get that. But we did get a text from the 225. They think it was Dak's worst game since Chicago. The trend with this offense is bad. It's designed better than McCarthy's, but McCarthy is a better play caller than Shoddy. I don't know that I agree with that part of it, but I do think it
is. I think there's no way in hell that Shoddy or that guy goes for it. Mike goes for it all those four times.
No, I take Shoddy over Mike when it comes to play calling all day. But you now, I believe, are going for your 15 straight drives without a touchdown in the second half, dating back to the Lions game.
Yeah.
And you ran 87 offensive plays and only scored 6 points in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the, hey, the defense is bad. The defense is bad. They still put up 30 points and they won. But I kind of thought with the way they were looking in the first half, like, should you not have really been able to take advantage of that Commander's defense? How are they not exhausted?
Yeah, especially with all the problems they were having with health and stuff with coming into the game and having to use some backup guys. And it's kind of odd to run 87 plays and feel like you only scored 30 points there with the situation. But I would take Shoddy as a play caller too over McCarthy if you wanted to be honest there. I think it's just kind of unfortunate that there's things that Shoddy might be able to hang his hat on and doesn't stay with or kind of bounces around a little bit, and maybe that's maybe being a little bit of like, okay, you know, I'll tell you this though, the plays they've been running where they got sacked on one of those where they boot the guard.
Yeah.
And you know when I mean boot the guard.
Yeah, to go kick out kind of the tackle spot to pick up an extra rusher.
Yeah, exactly. So it leaves BB one-on-one. Well, it ends up being a sack. And that's a play that they've crushed opponents on this year. Boot the guard, get a protector out there, and then kind of protect and then throw the ball all the way across the field. It just that, you know, it didn't work today. But those are the kinds of things that we've seen from this offense. I do like the creativity with the running game the way it is. I do appreciate how they're trying to get Pickens and Lamb involved and that they can even go to a Tolbert. I the offense, it when it looks bad, it's usually because of a penalty mm-hmm. or a negative play. I just didn't feel like today there were many negative plays other than what you had to deal with the sacks. But there were times where they were kind of overcoming those things. I think you and I were kind of laughing about Shoddy, and it's like it's always going to be a second down run. Second long, there's always going to be
and they popped a lot of them today.
They hit them on a draw today. So, you know, tip of the cap. Maybe it has a little bit to do with your opponent today. But when you run 87 plays, you're kind of feeling like you should have dominated the other team. And this didn't feel like a domination at all. But, hey, more importantly, though, the bottom line is, you know, this isn't the BCS. This is not about style points and all that stuff. It's about going out and winning a football game. But I understand your concerns about what the offense did today. We all understand what the defense is.
Yeah, it's not to say that, oh my gosh, the issue is not the defense. It's without question the bigger problem. You still put up 30 points today. Yeah. You should win most games being able to put up 30 points. But you have seen now, for whatever reason, a regression with the offense being able to score touchdowns in the second half now of three straight games.
Yeah.
And that is something, as we kind of look towards the end of the season, I think you've got to point out. I think we've got to have that conversation.
No question you're right about that. I mean, that to me, you know, you want to be able to, you feel like that some of these games, and not today, but other games that you've lost, the offense's inability to get something done in the second half. Has been a big factor in that.
And the 817 might make a good point here. It's easy to be aggressive when there's nothing to lose, and Shoddy lost some of that aggression in the Lions game, and it cost them three games in a row.
Yeah.
And maybe he might have settled for some more field goals where he should have kept his foot on the gas, and you saw him today go 6-for-6 on fourth down and extended some drives. That could very well be a good point.
You know what? I consider going for it on fourth down every time, too, if I know I can throw the ball to Pickens, or I can throw it to Lamb, or true. I can hand it to potentially to Hunter Lipke and see or Dak sneak the thing. I mean, you were in some really good situations where you should have gone for it, and he absolutely did. I mean, Dan Quinn got roasted last week against Philadelphia for punting a couple of different times on fourth down, you know, when you should be, you know, going forward and trying to keep the offense going.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Star up, star down, your little report card for the Dallas Cowboys in their 30-23 win-loss against the Commanders, Bobby Bell.
Yeah, let's go star up first, because they did win, and it does always, I know everybody's going to say, I wanted the draft pick, and I understand it, I feel the same way, but it does, there is a sense of satisfaction and happiness when you do win a game. So at the end of it, when you do win, it is kind of like, yeah, all right, got one. So star up immediately, I think right off the top, Malik Davis.
He's Malik, one of mine.
Malik Davis is such a encouraging story if you're talking about, you know, what you want for Jaden Blue. I talked about this in the postgame show yesterday with Zach and Brian, is that Jaden Blue is confounding to everybody right now, right? It's just like, why is he not out there, especially in this would seem to be the time that you'd give him his shots. Jaden Blue's got to learn how to be a pro. That's a big thing for him. Malik Davis was in that spot 4 years ago where they liked him, but they were having to break him a little bit of some bad habits and turn him into a pro. And he recovered from that, and he's become one of the more encouraging players, I think, for them in terms of success stories of a guy who was kind of teetering, was out of the organization for a little bit, and ultimately has worked his way back. And somebody who gets a lot of praise from Dak Prescott. Ran the ball really well yesterday. He's got to get better in pass protection. That's a real struggle for him at times. But, man, when you go 20 carries, 103 yards, and just consistently moving the ball forward and doing what he did, I thought it was a nice day for Malik Davis. So star up for him.
I really like him. I wish they would give him more run. It makes you think, like, obviously, when you see a guy that has, you know, those kind of raw skills bursting through the line like that, and
yeah, he's just solid everywhere. Yeah. He's solid at everything except pass protection. He doesn't need to get better at that.
Yeah, it tells me one of two things. Like, it's either pass protection, like you said, or, you know, practice habits. You know, generally with a football team,
practice habits, he's good.
Is he good?
He was not. That's the thing. Practice habits were not always great. He had some maturity issues early on. But now he's become one of the really good workers. I think for them, it's just been an issue of Javonte Williams has been the bell cow. He's been the guy, and he's kind of done it for him. And
he can do things that Javonte can't. It seems like
he's got a little bit more burst.
Seems like he has more speed.
Yeah, he's got a little bit more burst. But
I need next gen for that. I don't just trust my eyes.
No, he's got a little bit more burst. He's not like a 4.3 guy, but he's not Jaden Blue speed. But he's definitely got a little bit more burst. And yesterday, I thought that was an impressive game, and he's a guy who I know Dak and a lot of the other guys are rooting for in these last couple weeks. That's one of the guys they're playing for, where it's like, hey, give him an opportunity to let him get some experience here. That's somebody that they're excited about. So star up for Malik Davis.
Yeah, I had a star up, you know, early on, like first drive, first two drives. Dak wasn't sharp.
Mm-mm.
The running game really kind of gave them second and third chances on the offense, getting them some yardage, getting them some first downs, allowing them to continue drives. So I had, you know, start from Malik Davis also, you know, for the running game. You know, I had a look. I have been critical of him, not even of him, just the contract. But Turpin showed up.
That was a big play.
Big play. Great throw.
Still, he needs to be benched from punts. He should not be returning punts anymore. The dude will let stuff bounce. He fair catches things inside the 10. He has had his issues of fair catch, kidding, I'm going to run. It's just there's so many boneheaded plays in the return game, specifically on the punt return game. You want to keep him out there for kick returns, fine. Punt returns, he shouldn't be out there anymore. That's a detriment. But it was nice to see the touchdown that he got there, because that was a play that's the same one we were talking about on Wednesday where he had pulled up, where they were running the same route concept. It was on the outside, they're doing kind of like up and out. So they're doing like basically going to the sideline, outside move to the sideline, and then going up. And so Pickens and Lamb are running those, and that's meant to kind of draw defenders and then see if you can get Turpin vertical with his speed. And last week he pulled up, and Dak threw it, and it sailed 20 yards over his head because he didn't keep running through the route. He ran through the route this time, and the ball was right there, and he's able to pick up, he's able to get the extra burst and score the touchdown there. So it was nice to see them. That was clearly something that would have been discussed this week, is like, do not pull up on that route.
It was 14-3 at the time. They start at their own 3-yard line on that possession after the punt.
Because of Turpin.
Because of Turpin, yep. So then you get a first down after the pass to Lamb. And then, you know, a couple of plays later, you get the 86-yard touchdown pass to Kevontae Turpin where, you know, look, you get his speed into space. It's tough. It's tough to not let him get behind you. Because he's not big enough to be like a typical deep threat.
No, he's obviously shorter. He's right. Not like thick or anything.
He's not like Pickens where you throw jump balls to him.
No. He's got to win by getting behind the defense. You either get the ball to him in space or he runs past the defense and you get it over the top. But which is why it's been so maddening that at times they've thrown it to him on third down this year, where it's like, we're throwing third down out routes to Turpin, and it's like, gosh, the dude has not been able to finish those catches this year. But it was nice to see it show up a little bit yesterday. So
start down here on the Fan.
I'm going to just alternate because I think there's enough that's good and bad about this game that we can alternate and mix a few of them in. So I'm going to go star down now. Star down to Savona Revel, who, look, I understand he's working his way back in. This is a ramp up, but this is happening too much in man coverage now, that where he gets man coverage opportunities and he's still just getting absolutely worked over, which is supposed to be where he's a little more comfortable. The tackling has not been good. The press man has not been good. The stuff in zone hasn't been great. It's just been a struggle for him the whole way. And then he went down with another apparent injury yesterday, and I guess we'll just have to see. It didn't sound like it was some long-term concern, but it was enough that it took him out of the game, and he has had a tough time ever since he got back in the lineup. His passer rating allowed, I believe, since week 13, which was the Chiefs game, his passer rating allowed is 130, which is just not very good at all, and most of that is in man.
Look, I wrote down, so I, when I was taking my notes, I just wrote star up, star downs, except for one thing. And I wrote, listen, if we go into next year with an entirely new secondary, all the players, every single one of them, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I like Bland, but and I think Hooker is okay. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. If you came back with just those two, I'd be fine. If you blew it up all but Bland, I would understand.
Like Donovan Wilson, he has to retire after that Debo hit. Yeah, you have to retire. You can't come back from that. And you had lower leverage, too.
Dono's a very physical player.
He
usually, so I think that was just an impressive play from Debo. But, I mean, yeah, it was not great.
Diggs with a horse collar tackle. It's 21-3 game. You can't have a horse. That's like you're a pitcher. A guy bunts a guy over to second base in a 5-run game. And you throw to second to try to double him up. You're up by 5. Take the out.
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to horse collar tackle somebody for with an 18-point lead?
Look, if you horse collar, that is you trying to make a tackle while still managing to be as far away from contact as possible. So I would guess that's what he was trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to do his job without actually being physical.
Being physical.
Is what I would guess it is. Which is, it's odd. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just mentioned. They're like, you know, Diggs was a lot more. Like, I remember Diggs making tackles his rookie year and be like, oh, he's kind of a physical player. And, like, it's gone now. It's not what he does anymore. But it was, I think that what you saw yesterday from Revel specifically was just, it was not good. And it continues to not be good. Get the kinks out now. Diggs had some really bad moments his rookie year, and then he bounced back and looked really, really good after that. And so hopefully this is just the rookie lumps, but rookie lumps or not, it's a star down.
Star down. Star down to the tackling.
Dude. 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, there was a play here. Number 13 for them was 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He winds up gaining a yard. He was stopped. He had three guys on him and the sideline. This was on that reverse play. And then a couple of plays later, that Kroski Mare. Why do they call him Bill?
I don't know. I think he's like I've heard it explained before, but I cannot remember what it is.
So he loses his balance. Right, and he still gains an extra 5 yards after he got contact. Hit.
He's a good
while
player,
losing
man.
His balance. Like the tackling on this team is just so bad. What?
Do you know why he got that nickname?
No.
He took the nickname after the character from the children's television series, Little Bill, for having a near bald hairstyle in his youth. Little Bill was also that children's cartoon created by Bill Cosby. So I don't know that I would have kept it, but
you're allowed to enjoy Bill Cosby's comedy.
Are you allowed to go by his title character and say, "Hey, I'm Little Bill Cosby"?
What if it was? You were Huxtable. You call yourself Huxtable.
I don't know, man. I think I would come up with
you're
something
just
else.
Out on all Bill, all things Bill.
I just wouldn't go by his. I wouldn't go by one of his characters' names. Like I wouldn't just be like, "Yeah, I'm Dr. Huxtable."
Was this done before?
Yeah, he took the. This is way before any of this came out that he would have. Yeah, Little Bill's from like 25 years ago.
Your grandfather did.
I guess so. But man, if I went by the nickname Dr. Huxtable, I think I'd change it.
Yeah, you could. That's possible. That's true. All right, star up, star down.
Yeah, let's go star up here. Tyler Smith played much better at tackle yesterday.
Okay.
A bunch of, there were several dropbacks in this game. And look, I know Dak was sacked 6 times, and we'll get into some of the reasons for that a little bit later. All 6 of those sacks came in the same coverage look from the Washington Commanders, which were cover 4 and cover 6. So a lot of that was coverage sacks, and they were not on Tyler Smith for the most part. I thought Tyler Smith played much better in pass protection this game. He's somebody who clearly does not want to spend a lot of time at tackle. He has made that pretty clear, it felt like, earlier this week when he was talking to the media. But in terms of just finding balance, finding a rhythm, getting into the spot where he needed to be, and finding a rhythm there and finding some confidence, I thought Tyler Smith was much better in pass protection, and that's an encouraging sign for the future. So star up to Tyler Smith in this one.
What did you think of the interior of the O-line?
It was bad. It was really bad. That specifically, Tyler Booker had a really bad day. Right side of the line. You can go start down for the right side of the line. Terrence Steele and Tyler Booker.
Center,
center was so-so. Really yesterday, there were a lot of instances where they were able to hold things down and do what they needed to do. They did universally pretty much. They did a good job blocking things up in the run game, but the pass protection at times was really, really rough for them. So I think right side of the line was not very good. Center and left guard were okay. Tyler Smith was good at left tackle.
Yeah, hell, Dax took 6 sacks, 5-6 sacks.
Uh-huh. Yep. I mean, like I said, we'll get into it a little bit later. There was a couple years ago where cover 2 and split safeties, that was Dak's kryptonite. That's how teams were starting to try and slow him down. You're starting to see the second half of the season, teams are way ratcheting up cover 4 with him. And yesterday versus cover 4 and cover 6, which cover 6 is a modified version where it's cover 2 on one side and cover 4 on the other side. Yesterday, Dak against cover 4 and cover 6 was 6-for-17, and he was sacked 6 times.
They just force you to be patient.
It's you're just taking things away deep, and then you're kind of keeping things in front of you. You're tackling, and with the guys that they have, they like to push some things vertically down the field, so it can be difficult. And so if they're playing things that way, and things are taking more time to develop, you got to block things up for longer, and they haven't been able to do that nearly as much.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Keep Dak Prescott off the field in week 18. That's what we're going to talk about here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing and Window Nation. Dak Prescott took a bit of a beating yesterday.
Oh, no.
Sacked 6 times in this one, and it didn't just feel like it was 6 sacks. It was like, it was the way he was being brought down. Like, how many different times did you see him get hit in this game and you're like, oh, that might be a knee?
Yeah, there's times where 3 guys are falling on him.
And they were like, there was one that was damn near a hip drop from, I think it was Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, and then you had the one where he got sacked.
All these twisting ones. Uh-huh. He had the late hit one that Frankie Louvu got hit with.
That was the sack I was going to say. Like, he gets sacked and then all of a sudden he's standing up and the guy just goes right into his head.
Yeah, yesterday he was taking a beating. And I mentioned it. It also felt like, I don't know why, because I looked at it and I don't think it ended up being this way. It felt like he was running more yesterday into like crowded areas. Like he was taking off and running more frequently. And then again, I mentioned I did not like the sneak at the end of the game. I don't like sneaking it and going for it there on 4th down with you up 7 and 11 seconds left just to put the game on ice. That's not something that I want to see at all. But we already know that Dak Prescott is going to be the competitor. And in fact, Larry, we're going to play the cut 16 from Dak here in just a second. But we know he's competitive. We know that, and he's mentioned this before, he wants to be out there for guys who are playing for something, whether it be incentives in their contract or for their next contract. So George Pickens is trying to get paid right now. Dak doesn't necessarily want to, he's not going to say this explicitly, but you don't want to throw Joe Milton out there to like
right.
have George Pickens operate and try to earn his next contract. So it's all admirable. That's all very good. But when you see him taking the beating like he did yesterday, Chop, aren't you just saying, all right, that should be enough to slow you down now. Like, let's take this easy. He can start next week even maybe, but he needs to come out after the first quarter or something like that.
I would be totally fine with him not playing at all. But yes, first quarter, fine.
Because this was yesterday. This felt like was this the most you felt like he'd been hit all year? Maybe Minnesota?
I can't remember.
Minnesota, this felt like the most hits he took. I mean, you're dropping back throwing it 41 times, or you're dropping back 44 times, or whatever it was.
What is game log?
It feels like so damn much that he was dropping back yesterday. And I know they had a ton of plays that they had in this one. They had 87 plays, which is just an ungodly amount. But this still felt like an unnecessary amount of opportunities that they were trying to take and trying to drag this game out. He ran the ball four times yesterday, dropped back 37, and had six sacks in there. So just a ton of times that he was back there dropping back and, you know, leaving himself susceptible to being hit.
Since the start of November,
mm-hmm.
he's been sacked 21 times.
21 times.
And that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 games. And that's including not getting sacked at all on Thanksgiving against Kansas City. So it's really 21 times over a 7-game stretch.
Is that
3 a game, I believe, Math Majors?
Nope. Out of 11 drives yesterday, but like the 11 longest drives in terms of number of plays between both teams yesterday, Dallas had 8 of them. 8 of their 9 drives went for 6 plays or more. And 6 of Washington's 9 drives went for 5 or fewer. Just it was a completely dominant effort in terms of possession and leaving Dak susceptible. But Dak Prescott did talk after the game. This is Dak 16, Larry. Dak Prescott, you still want to get out there and play next week?
Yeah, I'll make it. I'll have some fight back. Again, it depends on how it comes. What's the purpose? What's the reason? Obviously, I understand being approached about it. But what I was telling, you know, Clarence and the rest of the group was the conversations we've already had about it are for me to play. And, you know, with the season being where it is, trying to make sure we finish at, what, 8-1. That's important. That's important to me. A lot of pride in that. And so I want to go out there and I want to win, most importantly. And me starting, I feel like, gives us the best chance, obviously. And want to play.
But let it cares? Out. Let it out, Chop.
Who cares? Who cares if it gives you the best chance to win?
Because he just said 8-8, getting to 500 is important to him.
Yeah, but you got to lose. You got to stay. Here's what you don't want. Because of the win here, and because of the Lions' loss, if Minnesota loses to Green Bay this week,
mm-hmm.
and Detroit loses to Chicago, and you beat the Giants, you're ahead of them. Which means you're now picking behind them. And those are two teams that destroyed you this year. Destroyed you.
Yeah.
You're not as good as either team.
I think Minnesota, they are close. I think they got their ass kicked that game.
They're close, but let's not forget. Minnesota won 13 games, 14 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit won 15. Now, both teams took steps back. That's fine. They took steps back. That happens. Both number one seeds are eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think I've ever seen that. I can't remember a time where both number one seeds from the previous year did not make the postseason the following year. They took a step. Detroit took a step back. Can't lose 2 games to the Vikings. Can't lose. They struggled. They struggled with a ton of teams. Pittsburgh, Minnesota took a step back, but that was expected. Right, they were moving on from Darnold. They were going to JJ. I think it was expected that they were going to miss the playoffs.
There's a realistic shot that Dallas ends up with the best record of
the non-playoff teams. That's the worst place to be.
That would be pick 18.
That is the worst place to be. And guess what?
Next year, go look at the standings. Go look at the standings right now. Mm-hmm. If it settles right now the way it is, you play. Well, you know what? You're going to wind up. You might get lucky. You might get lucky because I think Detroit's going to finish last. So you wouldn't get them next year.
But you're probably going to get Green Bay.
Well, no. What you would get is the Cowboys. Oh yeah, they're in second. So you're going to get Green Bay.
Dallas is locked in the second. You're probably getting Green Bay. Then you're probably getting Tampa or Carolina.
And right now you're getting either San Fran or the Rams.
Or Seattle.
We don't know about that division.
You're getting one of the 12-win teams in the NFC.
But as of right now, you're getting San Fran, Tampa, and Green Bay. And then don't forget, there's the ninth game. Mm-hmm. Ninth home, ninth road. We don't know. That seems to be a non-conference game most often, right?
Yes. Typically, for the Cowboys, it has been. So they played... This year, they had the AFC West. They had the AFC North last year. So next year, it's the AFC South that they're going to get.
And it's division.
So they're going to get Jacksonville, Houston, Indy, and Tennessee next year.
Okay.
Which isn't the worst.
Yeah, but there's that ninth game, ninth home, ninth road, whatever it is, and we don't know who that's going to be.
Right.
So it all depends on the schedule, but, I mean, here it is. That's tough.
Yeah, and look, I mean, so they now there is where they're at now is not an optimal place to be in terms of like jockeying for position to where it's like, yeah, you very well could end up with the 18th pick. They were at 13 yesterday. With the victory, they moved up to 15. So they moved, but it's not super dire. Where they stand right now, Green Bay picks 21st. So if the NFL season ended today, they would have 15 and 21, and then they would not pick again until the fourth round.
Oh, no.
Which when you're thinking down. 15 and 21, let's say they're unable to trade down. They have to pick in those first two picks, and then they just sit around waiting for the fourth. What are you just committed at this point, given what you've seen, just saying you're picking defense with both of those? I don't care what's on the board or anything else. I need just whoever's on defense because the defense is that bad.
No.
Could you be talked into an offensive lineman? Sean didn't seem like he could be talked into that.
I could be. Look, all right. Let's say there's a CeeDee Lamb situation where the top receiver on your board drops to 15
mm-hmm.
or to 21.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not. If I'm re-signing George Pickens, I'm not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, because I also have to think about cap.
Yeah.
Right. So I was.
But by then, I'm sure they would have signed an extension or not. I would guess by the time the draft rolls around.
Probably. I wouldn't necessarily love to do that, but there comes a point where the value is just too good.
Yeah. I think Flannoy showed a lot this year. You're already three deep there. It feels like. So I don't know. I could be talked more into an offensive lineman, I think, than I could a receiver.
I could always be talked into an offensive lineman.
Just because the right now, I feel like there's so many questions. Tyler Smith does not seem like he wants to go to left tackle.
Right.
So if you were to play left guard, and then you assume, all right, Guyton settles back into left tackle, then their plan potentially, which I don't know if this is it, but it's one of the things we've discussed, of Tyler Smith goes to left tackle, Tyler Guyton goes to right tackle, and then you cut Terrence Steele and you free up that money, that would be gone. And you're just back to Guyton and Smith on the left side, and then you're still sitting there trying to figure out what to do at right tackle. At that point... You maybe need, and then this is apparently a decent, I've not gotten too deep into study yet. This is apparently there's a couple right tackles who could fit there. So if you're telling me I can draft a right tackle there who's better than Steele.
I'm fine with that.
And you save money. Are you okay with that as one of your two picks?
Absolutely, because the offensive line, go.
So that means you get one top 100 pick added to your defense.
If you don't have.
And Quinnen, they would probably count Quinnen.
If you don't have a quarterback who runs, you have to have. Up the middle, strong offensive line.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter how fast you get rid of the ball. Dak gets rid of the ball quick. Offensive line problems. Detroit's had offensive line problems. Saw it happen this year. I have no problem drafting offensive line. I had no problem drafting the defense. To me, if you've only got two top 100 picks, I think you need to probably, ideally, take two on defense, but are you really going to sacrifice best player for need if it's that much of a difference?
Easy Money T23 on the Twitch. LOL, GP's next contract isn't predicated on what he does against the Giants. What the hell? No, it's not, but it's it's part of, first off, it is predicated on what his numbers look like and how much effort he gives throughout the season. Teams are going to measure how much did you care when you were eliminated, and teams are going to wonder. They're going to look at just blind numbers. There is something to be said about, oh, you're a 1,500-yard receiver? Or, oh, you're that, like, that does matter to teams. Even if you could go like, yeah, but some of those against the Giants at the end of the year, that's not how teams look at it. They just don't. And so there's an impact there. And there's an impact, like I said, for guys with incentives. Guys have money on the line based on performance bonuses that they can hit. And so that's something that Dak wants to be a part of.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.